We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
It's a two-point game. Scramble. Clock ticks. Clock to two. To one. Barrett with a three. No! And the Lakers win it in overtime.
Well... Not the ending we wanted. Man, almost forgot what it was like to be disappointed like this. But yeah, there you go. That's the toughest loss that the Knicks have had this year. That's the toughest loss Knicks have had in several years. And, Man, first team to 101. First team to 101. Felt like they were going to get that one. I mean, So the Knicks lose 101-99. An incredibly hard fought game. Really, I mean, as gritty a defensive effort as you could possibly imagine. They fought, they clawed, they scrapped, they did all the things. They were shorthanded. The Lakers were shorthanded. Lakers were more shorthanded than they were. And they couldn't pull it out. You know, Lakers made more plays than they did. Tip your cap. Were there plays you would have liked to have back? Absolutely. Steven Zagame, thank you for your first comment in the super chat. We were gassed at the end. Yeah, they were gassed at the end. This was a game that saw two teams lay everything on the line. Everything on the line. And they didn't have enough. You love the effort. You absolutely love the effort. You can't fault the effort of both teams, obviously. You know, it's a defending champs. A lot of pride there. No LeBron, but So that is it. We, for now, still have not clinched a playoff berth. 4-6 in the East. All hope is certainly not lost, as you know, they have a 3-game homestand coming up. Go 3-0 on that homestand. Miami loses one more game, and we're in the 4-5. So that's good news. Better news, more meaningful news, is the fact that this team just gives everything it has every night they go out there. And it's really inspiring to watch, and they deserve to be commended for their effort. We'll get into the specifics of the game in a bit, but just, yeah. Got to take a moment to let this one set in. This was tough. This was hard. This was really hard because they had this game. They had this game at the end of regulation. Obviously, Wes Matthews, once a Nick, always a Nick, I guess, got the rebound and the putback. Rose had a brilliant game, amazing game. He's been as good as any player in the league over the last week, 2 weeks. Didn't get the rebound there. I thought, you know, could Frank have been in the game? We'll talk about Frank in a bit, but yes. And then in overtime, again, you know, they give up the three when it matters most. It is what it is. Tough loss, but you can't fault the effort. Derrick Rose, 39 minutes. RJ Barrett, 38. We're going to talk about Barrett. Barrett, 38 minutes. Bullock, Reggie Bullock, 46 minutes. My God. Julius Randle, 44 minutes. MK, let's get to some of the Super Chat stuff. MK21, toughest loss in years. Can't ask any more of Julius and Rose. Best game by Rose as a Nick. Just need a third option. We'll get there. Yeah, I would say that's accurate. Reginald G, thank you so much for your contribution to the Super Chat. Kevin, my man, Kevin McEwen. Did we need RJ out there the way that Frank was playing? He was on the bench for a while. He shouldn't have taken that last shot. You know, a game like that, it's funny because it's often going to come down to the last shot, but at the same time, it's almost like whatever the last shot is, it is. Would I have liked that to be the last shot? No, I would not have liked that to be the last shot. RJ, look, RJ finished this game 2-for-13. It was, without question, the worst game offensively. I thought he was fine on defense, but offensively, it was the worst game he has played in, I don't know, weeks, months. He's been struggling inside the arc. The difference was in this game, for the first time I think we've seen all season, or since the first several weeks of the season, he let the struggles inside the arc affect what he was doing. Outside the arc, you know, and that's rough, and that happens, and it's tough. But he's 20. He's 20. How do you pile it on a kid who's 20 years old? I'm not going to do that. Not tonight. Not after everything he's done this season. Forgotten NYC. That Thursday game against the Spurs becomes suddenly the most important New York Knicks game in about 20 years. I don't know about that. If we lose that game, we start to sweat. Look, they're going to get into the playoffs. I mean, Boston lost tonight. They have to win one more game. Boston has to lose one more game. Boston can't get out of its own way right now. I don't doubt this team's mental toughness. I don't doubt this team's fortitude. I don't doubt this team. I know they lost tonight, but I don't doubt this team. I know they didn't get it tonight, but I don't doubt this team. I'm not nervous, but you know what? Tonight would have been to clinch it tonight in LA on the floor of the defending champs where Randle was drafted. You know, that would have been special. It would have been special, and obviously the 4-5 means something. Let's get in, but the 4-5 means something. And, you know, if they win this game, the 4-5 is looking like it's a great possibility. So my wife in the super chat, smile, baby. The Knicks are God. I've married. Talk about marrying up. I've married a saint who's up, I guess, watching right now in the bedroom. I love you, baby. Jeremy Anselson. Tibbs went offense, defense, by the way. Frank and Rose for the last couple of possessions of regulation. Then on the last possession, he leaves Rose in the final play. Yeah, he did. That's, you know, I think Tibbs is like a lot of coaches, which is that when it comes down to like that very last play, I feel like he goes with the guys that got him there, which is why I wasn't altogether surprised that RJ was in at the very end, that Rose was in at the very end. For me to sit here and fault anything Tibbs has done this tonight, this season is crazy. I'm not sitting here talking to you if Tibbs was not the coach of this team, because you know what? I probably would have gone to sleep a long time ago, but Tibbs has brought this team to a new level. So, you know, I'm not faulting him. JM Prego, heads high, homies. Coming east, still in the hunt for home court. Clinch at the Garden. Chopped cheese and chicken cutlets to celebrate. D-Rose from Mayor. Great comment. And, oh, my God, what is this? What is going on? Jesus Christ. Leon CAGWA. Caught myself thinking that this is a moral victory. It's not. Just a tough loss. But the fact that we're beyond moral victories is a big win in itself. Let's go, Knicks. Thank you so much for that generous contribution and comment. Are they beyond moral victories? I don't know. Maybe, probably. It feels... I agree with you, Andrew. I would love to sit here and wax poetic about the effort that they played with tonight and how much fight they showed and how they didn't give up, didn't give in, down by five in overtime, come back, take the lead. Again, shorthanded. I'm sorry, but you cannot. I know the Lakers were without LeBron, but the Lakers are also the world champions. The Knicks were picked to finish last, and that I will continue to reference this season. And so when we talk about shorthanded, yes, I get the Lakers were without LeBron and Schroeder, but the Knicks being without Quickly and Burks is not nothing. And, if you're talking about the reasons why they lost this game, I think it's fair to say one of the reasons they lost is because they were gassed down the stretch. And I think the biggest reason they were gassed down the stretch is because they didn't have their full complement of guys. That said, Frank Ntilikina, you know, look, Randall, all the credit in the world. Randall had a fantastic game. I know he missed some shots. He hit some amazing shots. I know it was the turnover. I know we had the 24-second violation. I know all of that. Kudos to Randall. Amazing game by Julius Randall. Amazing season by Julius Randall. Can't ask for anything more from Julius Randall. Same thing from Derrick Rose. I know, again, a couple shots there you would have liked to have back. We are talking about the difference between great play and perfection. Was Randall perfect? No. Was Rose perfect? No. Do those guys still deserve every accolade and kudos and pat on the back in the world? Yes. I am not going to fault them for one second. But I think they extended themselves to their limit, and they did as much as they could. Frank Ntilikina, Rose, Randall are in their own category. But if you're asking me who's going to stand out for me in this game besides those two, it's Frank. Because and a lot of people got on me about it when I got on here and I talked about how Frank had I was done talking about Frank because he had reached the point where he was just an offensive zero and I thought it cost the team. He came up huge tonight. And when I think about the biggest plays of tonight, I'm going to think about Frank over and over and over again. Defensive possessions, the three-pointers, obviously. The great pass to Taj down low for that assist. And then, you know, the block, love the block. He had a massive rebound in traffic there. You know, I forget exactly when, but it was sometime in the second half. Great game. Mark Ham, by the way, shout out to your contribution in the Super Chat. Thank you so much. I'm going to remember Frank's game tonight. Came up huge. And he's done that a lot with this team. And he is not someone that gets rattled in the big moment. You know, seemed like this game got to RJ a little bit. It happens. Didn't get to Frank. Didn't get to Frank one bit. So, you know, shout out to him, because just what a game. And that's something to be excited about. But that said, Randall, Rose, Frank aside, they were gassed. They were gassed at the end, and this team misses quickly. This team misses Burks. Like when the offense is kind of struggling, those guys help. I want to give a quick shout out to Aiden, Ezra, and Brian Benjamin. Sent some generous donations to our Cash App. Shout out to both of you guys. We really appreciate it. And just, you know, look, a broken record here. I've said this multiple times this year. It's 1:18 in the morning after a Knicks loss. They didn't even win this fucking game. They lost this game. And there's 450 people watching right now, you know, which is we're going to get there. We're going to get there. We didn't get it tonight. We didn't get it tonight, but we're going to get there. I'm confident we're going to get there. I know we're going to get there. It's just, you know, when is it ever easy? When has it ever been easy for us? It's never been easy. Even in the 90s, it wasn't easy when things were great. The salad days, even the salad days were hard. So why would we expect anything less? Why would we expect it to be easy and storybook and all of that shit tonight in LA? Couple more comments here in the Super Chat. Thank you very much for everybody. Darone Visual Variant, appreciate the show. Thank you very much. Tough loss. Yes. Felt like Randall wanted to beat them by himself too much. What are the tiebreakers if the three-way tie, New York, Miami, Atlanta? Yeah, in terms of Randall, you know, let's just check in. His final stat line was Julius Randall had 31 points on 26 shots. He was 11 for 26 from the field, 4 of 8 from deep, which means he was, quick math, 7 of 18, it's late, 7 of 18 from 2. You know, it's not great. Did he force a couple looks? Yeah, probably. But again, a game like this, shorthanded, am I going to get on Randall? I mean, he's made so many of those buckets this year. And honestly, there weren't – I can't think of maybe more than one or two shots, if that, that Randall took where I was like, that's not a great shot. Even Rose, you know, Rose didn't have a great shooting night either. I thought they were all fine shots. And on that note, just hear, if you have a question, raise your hand. We have Tibbs.
Mark Berman. Yeah, Tom. To me, just took so many key plays, but the game winner, I guess Rose was screened off. I mean, was that a great executed play on the game winning three pointer by the Lakers by Tucker?
Yeah, I don't know.
Steve Popper.
Hey, Tom, just to take the last play, I guess, offensively, RJ kind of got a jam there. I guess had to force up a tough shot, but what did you see there? What
trust the pass. Trust the pass.
Trust the pass.
All we had to do is get one rebound. The rebounding beat us tonight.
And
Bailey?
Rebounding. You guys have been pretty solid there all year.
He's never been this disappointed. Not close.
Yeah, the last two games, dominant with the rebound. They're playing big. They're athletic. and if we don't get a body on someone, and all we got to do is get the last rebound, got to hit people, last shot of the game. But more often than not, that's how games are won.
You can make me smile.
Ready?
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, on that Wesley Matthews rebound, is it just Rose's job to pick him up?
Everyone's got to get their body on someone. That's the bottom line. There's a lot of plays, they're rebounding hurts throughout the game. We always say defend, rebound, keep the turnovers down. When you do that, that's going to put you in position to win, no matter who you're playing against, no matter where you are. But if you neglect that area, then, you're going to pay for it.
Chris Berman?
I mean, the stakes were so high tonight with a chance to clinch a playoff berth. What do you tell the guys after something like this where you don't say anything to them?
No, you got to say something to them. We came out of the trip 3-on-3, and we one rebound away from having a win tonight, and we got to learn, the intensity of the game. And, look, it's been a long road trip. There's been a lot of fight. But... we have to understand the intensity of the end of the game, so we'll learn from it, and it's going to be a quick turnaround going home, and we got to be ready when we get home.
Thank you, Coach.
Yep.
I don't know if it came through with the audio, but the only word I could use to describe Tom Thibodeau there was despondent. I've not seen him like that any game this year. I'm going to catch up on the Super Chat, and then Duran, visual variant, I'm going to talk about the three-way tie thing. PKNY would have signed up for a 3-3 this trip. Tibbs just said it. For as despondent as he was, any of us, if you would have told us 3-3 on this trip, we would have signed for it. The great thing about the squad is they seem to get stronger after L's. Coming home with a fire in their belly and fired up NYC. Kevin McEwen, I just saw your comment. Going to be a hot mess tomorrow at work. Yeah, I may be calling out tomorrow. Just throwing that out there. Zach Pokemoy, Poker Night. Hawks, Heat, Bucks, Nets won't matter. Knicks in 4. Let's hope so. Kevin Levitt, young team still learning how to win these tight games. Yeah, for sure. I think that's part of it. And just more than that, they're a young team, because Rose and Taj are older and they have the veteran experience. I think as a team, they're young, even regardless of the ages of the players on it, which is to say, this is all new for them as a group. And I think as a group, you have to go through, certain battles, and I definitely agree with that. Nick Fan and Callian had to watch this game surrounded by Laker fans. I'm sorry to hear that, man. Daniel Soto, can't take out Frank and then bring him back in on offense in the fourth. I mean, I thought, that's one of those situations where you kind of just have to roll with Frank how good he had played. But again, RJ's your core guy. He's your cornerstone. I get putting him back in. We could quibble with it, but to say that there's no logic to it, obviously didn't work out though. So hindsight's 2020. Sam Roth. Hey, John, thanks for all your hard work. Thank you, Sam, for saying that. I appreciate it. Does RJ's last possession worry you about how ready he is for the postseason, not stressing on to the next one? No, I think he had a bad game. I think if you're 20 and you're on the end of a 6-game road trip, you're allowed to have a bad game. And he had a bad game. He had a really bad game. And I think he's going to learn from it. I think RJ has shown me already this season everything I need to see. Did he get jammed up there on the last possession? Yeah, absolutely he got jammed up there on the last possession. Would he like to have it back? I'm sure he would love to have it back. But he can't. So, it is what it is. Let's one more, and then we're going to talk about the tiebreaker. Sean Bennett, Thank you so much for your contribution, Chun. We appreciate it. Tough loss, but remember, we're playing with house money. We weren't supposed to be here. No, we were not. And the old Knicks would have folded. I also completely agree with that. God, just some of the beat reporters don't get it. But we fought for the entire game. The Lakers felt us for sure. Yeah, they felt us. I mean, all you had to look at was Anthony Davis. Acting like he had just been on the battlefield by the end of this game. That's what it means to play the Knicks. And if you go back, you know, before any of the last several years, if you would have asked any of us, like, what do we want out of this year? Just give us the team from the 90s that would go on the court, and by the end of it, win or lose, the other team would say, shit, I don't want to play those guys again. You know, they're back to that. And that's meaningful, and that's sustainable, and that's going to, you know, be their calling card, hopefully, going forward. It's certainly their calling card this year. Joe DeSanto, thanks for staying up with us. I couldn't go to sleep right now if I tried. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. All right, the tiebreaker scenario. So here's the deal. At this point, it is I don't think it's mathematically impossible. I'm going to check this real quick. I don't think it's mathematically impossible, but I think it's more or less very unlikely that if there is a tiebreaker scenario, the tiebreaker scenario is going to be between the Knicks, the Heat, and the Hawks. And if the tiebreaker scenario, the three-team tiebreaker scenario, is between the Knicks, the Heat, and the Hawks, and I'm just trying to think here how it would be anything else. No, I guess it could technically still involve the Celtics, but it would be crazy if it was. If there's a three-team tiebreaker between the Knicks, the Heat, the Hawks, the Hawks win the division. That's a fact, because the Hawks already have the tiebreaker over the Heat. So that's not great, because the Hawks get the four, the Heat get the three, and the Heat get the five, and the Knicks get the six. So realistically, right now, we are hoping for not a three-team tiebreaker. You're hoping for, ideally, somehow, the Knicks to just get the four seed, which would mean they go 3-0, the Heat go. So here's how the Knicks get the four seed. Let's take a step back. The Knicks get the four seed if they go 3-0 and the Heat lose a game. Doesn't matter what the Hawks could do. The Hawks could go 3-0, but if the Knicks go 3-0 and the Heat lose a game, the Knicks get the four seed. If the Knicks go 2-1 and the Heat go 2-1, and the Hawks go either 3-0 or 2-1, the Knicks get the six. So basically, the key here is the Knicks have to finish with a better record than the Heat. That's really the key. And if you're thinking like, well, how do we play the Heat in the first round? The only way they would play the Heat in the first round is if the Hawks went 1-2 and the Knicks went 2-1 and the Heat went 2-1 or better, or the Hawks went 2-1 and the Knicks and the Heat both went 3-0. Then you'd get Knicks Heat first round 4-5, and you'd get the Hawks obviously in the sixth seed. Still very convoluted, I get that, but if you're sitting home and you're listening to this or you're watching this and you're like, what the hell do I have to root for? Just root against the Heat. Root against the Heat.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, and which is the good news is that the Heat are playing the Sixers in a couple of days, which the Sixers need that game because they lost tonight. And then they play the Bucks, and the Bucks, you know, haven't clinched anything yet. They may want home court in the second round, you know, but it's possible that the Heat could lose two more games. Certainly possible that the Heat could lose one more game. And then their last game of the season, they play some terrible opponents. So, four seeds still on the table, five seeds still on the table, and obviously win another game and you're in the playoffs. Reginald G. Building a team with Randall on anywhere near a max deal is insanity. His basketball IQ is piss poor. I'd much rather have Cunningham, Suggs, Kuminga, or Mobley over Randall on anything close to a max deal. I could not agree with this or disagree with this comment more. I think Randall, I'm not sure how you could say that anyone who averages six assists a game has a piss poor basketball IQ. So Randall is on the verge of doing something from the forward position that only like six or seven guys in the history of the league have done in terms of points and assists. And the other guys who have done it are basically regarded as like basketball savants. You know, we're talking about Bird. We're talking about Barkley. We're talking about Jokic. It's like you don't trip into six assists a game. You don't luck into six assists a game. You generate six assists a game. And if you're like, well, then like his IQ is poor because he's not doing more, then you have to go and look at the efficiency. And if his efficiency was bad, then you can say, all right, well, he's leaving a lot on the table because he's taking bad shots. But he's not, because the efficiency is really high too. So I appreciate your comment to the super chat. It's a really bad comment, and it's wrong. In terms of like Randall versus a top five pick in this upcoming draft, I don't really know how to respond to that. Like, yeah, there's some potential superstars in this draft. You know, would you trade Randall for a top five pick, top four pick, top three pick? I mean, that, you know, it's a conversation, but realistically, this is the guy on whose back you have gotten back to relevance after this team has been largely irrelevant for the last 20 years. So to throw that away on the possibility that one of those guys is going to be a superstar, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, would you do it for Cade? Yeah, you'd probably do it for Cade. Any of those other guys? Maybe, just hear me out here, maybe appreciate the fact that this team isn't a dumpster fire for the first time in forever. And it's all because of Julius Randle. That's what I'm going to do. But to each their own. So, you know. Anyway, some other comments in Super Chat here. Daniel Soto, happy birthday. Belated, brother. Great job. Thank you so much. And just for anybody here who reached out on my birthday or typed something in the chat last two nights ago, my birthday was yesterday. If I didn't reach out to you individually and say thank you, let me just say thank you right now because you know, I don't post my birthday on Facebook because I don't like getting like fake birthday messages, and like most of my friends and family who've known me for my entire life didn't know it was my birthday. Which again backs up my position, which is that you guys are my real family, and you guys mean more to me than people I've known my whole life. Which that may sound insane and make me pathetic, but when I think about the people that mean the most to me, I think about the people who are up right now at 1:36 in the morning listening to me talk about you know, this team. So thank you to everybody in here who gave me some birthday wishes, and I really do appreciate it. ML Nair. Tibbs recognized Frank with the number of minutes, but he couldn't overcome the end of the long trip. The tired legs showed in the second half with their short shots. Yeah, for sure. 100%. I think that's a really accurate comment. I wish you wish it could have gone differently. But it is what it is. Harry Donut, of course, thank you for your contribution. Harry Donut, man, you're the man. You come in here and you contribute every night. You've never asked a question. I'm actually curious at this point what your question would be if you asked it. So thank you for that. Some other lingering thoughts on tonight's game. Obi Toppin. Let's talk about Obi Toppin. You know, it's funny. Obi Toppin just makes me smile now. He was not making me smile for much of this year, but he makes me smile now because he is, again, it's only in 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 minutes a game, whatever it is. Tonight it was 9. Hit both of his field goals. Hit the three, had three rebounds, which I thought were again, they had problems rebounding all night, 5 points. He's contributing to winning. He's helping them. He's helping the effort. He's helping them win games, which is all you could possibly ask for. And he's playing with a confidence right now. I think one of the questions that we all had, that I had, in terms of moving forward to the playoffs is, would Obi Toppin be out of the rotation? And if so, like, who would go in there? Would it be RJ Barrett playing small ball four? You know, would Kevin Knox at a few minutes or something? I think that conversation is over. I think Obi Toppin has earned playoff minutes. And I'm excited to see him get those playoff minutes, because I really do. I genuinely believe he's helping the team right now. So kudos to him. Mark Sable, thank you, my man. There's ESPN just turning itself on. Happy birthday. Thanks for helping keep this loss in perspective. It's the least I could do. Thank you for staying up with me as I do my usual therapy session after these tough games. I hope you're well, Mark. Chad Cohen, we don't want to talk about it, but no, we can talk about it now. I've been talking for 35 minutes. We can talk about Elf now. Elf being -8 in 14 minutes is horrifying in a 2-point loss. And to throw the minutes away in the playoffs is scary. Now I'm going to take a sip of my scotch. There's no place for Alfred Payton anymore on the Knicks. No place. Well, no, that's not true. There's a place for him on the bench in a warm-up. Not on a basketball court. He is not a bad basketball player right now. He is a shell of a bad basketball player right now. And I understand that there are dynamics at play here that go above X's and O's. And they involve things that we are not privy to. And I respect that. And I respect that, which is why you're never going to hear. And look, call me out on it if you want. If you're waiting for me to be like, Tibbs is wrong for playing Elf these minutes. I'm not saying that. Because I know that I'm not smart enough and I don't have enough inside information to know the full behind-the-scenes picture in terms of what goes into the decision to continue trotting Elf out there. And besides that point, it's not even a fair conversation to have right now because Emmanuel Quickley is injured and Alec Burks is injured. And Derrick Rose cannot play 48 minutes, and they need someone to run the offense. And I love Frank Ntilikina to death. I apologize for the harsh things I said about you, Frank. he shouldn't be running the offense. He's not a point guard. He's a wing. That's what he is. You can't put that on Randle. You can't put that on RJ. You can't put that on anybody else. So they're injured right now. So this is not even a comment about tonight. But moving forward, you know, we didn't expect to be here, but we're here. You can't send him out there. You can't send him out there. There's nothing he's doing that's helping. I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's Rose starts or Quickly starts or Burke starts. If you want to try to put lipstick on a pig and you want to start him and then, you know, the first opportunity you get to make a sub, you sub someone in for him, I'll even sign for that.
Mallory, you got Joyce. Give us video.
Oh, okay. I'm going to get to the other Super Chats and finish my rant in a minute, but here's Julius Randle.
Hey, everyone. Julius Randle's here. If you have a question, raise your hand and I'll bring you into the room. Mark Berman.
Hey, Julius. I mean, with so much at stake, with a playoff clincher right there, I mean, how tough is this to have the game won and not close it out?
It's tough. We control our own destiny. And so, we're going to rest back home and finish this out.
Steve Popper.
Just, I guess the last two plays of regulation, the defensive rebound, is what Tom focused on. I guess just your thoughts on that last scramble there, and then what you thought of the shot you got there. It almost went into regulation.
Yeah, I don't really care. It happens. Had a chance to finish the job. I got to finish the job. That's really my focus. I'm going to focus on the rebound. Things happen throughout the course of the game. Can't blame one play. For me, I'm looking at myself, and I got to finish the job.
Jeff Bondi?
I got to finish the job.
Brand three, how do you view the trip in its entirety?
So we'll call it a success. I feel like we had a chance to go 5-1. I had a chance to close it out. Make it a successful trip, 4-2. Put it on me.
Mike Borkanoff?
In case you missed it, his last words there were, "I put it on me."
These kind of playoff-like scenarios, is that a learning curve for you guys in these types of games especially?
No, we've been closing them out. I think we're doing a better job of understanding that intensity, but we got to take it up to another level. And close the game out. So, a few things happened throughout the course of the game. I feel like I could have been better, and I will be better. So, learn from it. Take from it what I can, and just go from there.
Steve Popper.
You mentioned that you guys control your own destiny still, and you do. But how hard is a game like this to get over for you guys?
It sucks. We feel like we, fought like hell. Me, I played to exhaustion. I know my guys played to exhaustion. To do what we did, last game with a road trip, against a championship caliber team, to play the way we played was great. And like I said, I put it on myself. For me, have the opportunity to finish the game off. I know my guys aren't going to say it. It comes down to that play. But for me, I feel like as a leader, I got to finish the game. So I'm not going to put it on nobody else. I'm going to put it on myself.
Thank you, Julius.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
That's a fucking leader right there. I remember Patrick Ewing. I remember what it was like to watch Patrick Ewing. I remember what it was like to listen to Patrick Ewing. I remember what it was like to root for Patrick Ewing. And I know he's not going to have the career that Patrick Ewing had. I know this season is not commensurate with the best Patrick Ewing seasons. I'm not trying to put him in Patrick Ewing's class. But, like, Patrick Ewing was a fucking leader. And the guy that just sat there and the guy that we've been watching all season, gets every bit as much respect from me as Ewing did. Especially after last year, coming back from that, which was his, some of it was his fault, but just, you know. All right, DDD 137. Upside is maybe if we get Frank working with RJ's skills guy, he could become extremely good. Also, happy birthday. Thank you. I'm Frank disappointed me the other night, but I'm still, I think he's going to be a good NBA player. I've always said, I don't know if it's going to be here, but at this point, I'm a little higher that it is going to be here. Anthony Sixto, where did it go? I remember early when the talk that was what we needed was a 3-point shooter. Tonight, the broadcast mentioned how many 3-point shooters we had. When's the last time we saw a team develop in front of our eyes like this? I mean, again, these are all positives. You look at what this organization has been able to do this year and accomplish, and then also, but give credit to the individual guys. Like, I know, obviously, he couldn't hit the far side of a barn tonight, but RJ Barrett turning himself into a shooter, Reggie Bullock having arguably, when you consider the volume and the degree of difficulty on some of these shots, having, I think, what is the best 3-point shooting season of his career. I know it's not percentage wise, but Julius Randle putting in the work, them drafting Emmanuel quickly. I mean, all credit to them for that. So yeah, all the credit in the world, for that. It's a great sign. It's a fantastic sign. Zebo 13, 13, 13. Thank you so much for your contribution to the super chat. And just speaking of the 3-point shooting, this is a game that we all are sitting here. We agree they should have won. You know, they were 10 for 29 from deep. That's worse than they have one of the worst 3-point shooting games they've had in a while. And they were 39% overall. Really did not shoot the ball well. And again, they were right there. So yeah. What are you going to do? To finish up my thoughts on Elfrid Payton, God, I don't know. I have nothing left to say. He's, you know, Elf's a nice guy. He's trying hard. He's just, he shouldn't be on the court right now. And it's obvious, and it has become hard to watch his minutes. And I think and pray and hope that by the time we get to the playoffs, we are getting to the playoffs. You know, something different happens. So we'll see. On that note, I think that is going to be it for me. I am going to go. Oh, wait. We got Derrick Rose. Never mind.
Derrick,
I lied.
Here. If you have a question, raise your hand and I'll bring you into the room. Ian Binkley.
It's Derrick Rose.
Derrick, what do you think?
Looking very good.
You guys coming up short in this one?
I mean, I can't put a finger on it right now. I'm still upset about it. There's a lot going on. Can't put a finger on it.
Obviously, so many big, crazy plays, but you're aware that Tucker went to your Chicago high school. What do you think about him?
I've been known about TAC for a while, since high school. Was a huge fan of him when he went to Iowa State. And great to see him actually getting this opportunity to play. And not only that, but play through his mistakes and get the opportunity that most kids don't get. And he's on a great team, championship team. So I believe he's just going to continue to get better. His minutes are going up, so it's all great. It's great for Simeon, too, for the kids that look up to me and
Steve Popper.
Derrick, I know you guys still control your own fate here with the playoffs.
Yeah.
How hard is a game like this to get over for those to go home now?
It's tough, extremely tough. But by the end of the night, tomorrow when you wake up, yeah, you're going to have amnesia. But it's fucking hard right now in the game.
That's real, man.
Monday.
I feel you, man.
Hey, Derek, on Wesley Matthews' rebound there at the end of regulation.
Yeah.
Coming on that play, was that somewhat your responsibility to box him out?
Yeah, I was coming in from the corner trying to play backside, and by that time he was already, boxing me out. I probably should have fouled him, threw him down to the ground or something like that, but he was already in the stance, already boxing me out, from me leaving my guy in the corner and trying to get down to the baseline if it was a drive. So, we'll probably look at film. Tibbs yelled at me about it, but it is what it is.
Thanks, working off.
Derek, what happened on that last play in overtime? Was that just not the right spacing there? Was that something the Lakers defense did? Like, what was going on there?
On which one?
The one to end overtime where it ended with RJ taking that 35-footer.
It ended with who?
RJ taking the 35-footer, and it started with you getting the sideline out of bounds.
That's something that you probably got to ask RJ. I mean, the spacing probably was messed up. I know I was above the break. He didn't have anywhere to drive. And, it was just, that's our first time being in that situation, too. So you live and you learn. And we got to get him, if he was going to go, if he did have the thought of going, we got to give him the space to actually try to crack somebody off the dribble instead of just clogging up the lane. So, like I said, it's our first time being in that situation. So, you got to learn from it.
Thank you, Derek.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, the RJ 35-footer at the end obviously was not ideal, but what are you going to do? All right. That was quite a question there at the end. Okay. I think we're good. Tough loss. Tough loss, but... builds character, builds resiliency. As Tom Thibodeau says, if you don't win, you learn. And I'm sure they'll learn from this one. For everybody watching, it is almost 2 a.m. You are the best. Hit the like button if you haven't already. Tune in again Thursday night. We'll be back with you for another post-game live stream after the Spurs game. We have a new podcast dropping in a few minutes featuring Connor Hughes of The Athletic, who covers the Jets and is also a massive Knicks fan. We had a lot of fun with that. And that'll lift your spirits, I think. So take care, and I will see you very soon.